welcome back to episode number 2 of Reevecast, the podcast that talks everything country, culture, and community. My name is Malachi Johnson, and I'm a proud Gurangrang traditional custodian from Gurangrang country down in Bundaberg. I'd also like to pay my respects and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the beautiful country we are on today in Cairns. We want to acknowledge the Gimoi Wallaburra, Yidinji people, and the Yidikanji mob. So I'll pass over to you, Tay.
Yenagay, my name's Gitaya. I'm a Gombangi and Bundjalung woman from the north coast of New South Wales.
Nugabi, Nagang, David, Robert, Gamma Rangers, Ngil, Gamma Ngil, Ba, Garangu, Gam, Ringa, Darawalunga. Hey, I'm David, this is Robert. We are the Gamma Rangers. We belong to the coast of Sydney and Botany Bay in particular.
Deadly. Rob, you want to say anything, brother?
Yeah, I just... Thanks, Malachi, for letting us be on this podcast, brother.
No, I'm not
bad. I've done a couple, but, yeah, I love this kind of stuff. Keep the mob and having a chat and, yeah, so it's going down.
To Delhi. So I think today we just wanted to have a yarn with you guys because I'm so intrigued by, I know the podcast we took, it's called Reevecast, but, you know, and we focus on the Great Barrier Reef, but we also focus on traditional custodians all around sea country. And you guys work on some deadly stuff in sea country. I've got to know them over the last couple of days. Actually, when I first met them, it was just like, I didn't even know who they were. They were talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, hey, which way? And then, you know, Murray's going, and, you know, we Bob's your uncle, and we were talking silly like Ernie Bingo's our cousin, you know? But, yeah, so I guess it will open the floor just to a general cruisy discussion about sea country. Like, what is it about sea country that has you inspired or motivated to do the work that you're doing now on sea country? What is your passion and your aspirations for sea country down in Sydney?
So, come from generations, the early 60s, where my great Uncle Joseph took a timbery, just to run for mullet and everything. Mullet used to run every Easter, every year. And me growing up like that lifestyle and, you know, being a fisherman myself, been a diver, and ever since then, yeah, just love being on the water, being a saltwater person, saltwater man. Yeah, and just food source for the mob up at Larva. Now I go for a dive, give for fish, first go to mum, you know, give her good feed and everything. And yeah, but yeah, 5-10 walking steps, mate, we're on the beach from home.
Yeah, you don't find that often, eh, just being so close to sea country. Yeah. What did you, David? What's your story, brother? Tell us a bit about your story.
Well,
your connection to country.
My connection to country is obviously part of my identity. It obviously means a lot to be able to have a voice in how the community, the oceans manage in our community, and especially having been based in Sydney with having the biggest port there, you know, fuel refineries, airports. General boat users, it's fairly disturbed, especially around the habitat of it. As you said, you have reefs up here. We have, you know, weeds and all that type of stuff. That's and seagrasses in particular. That's pretty much like it's vanishing, which is a big worry for our community because obviously that brings a lot of habitat towards fish and other things as well in particular, and that's what obviously we really rely on as a community. That seeing that is you know, disappearing has direct impacts to our community. So at LARPA we always refer ourselves to not just saltwater people, but we always refer that if it's a healthy ocean, healthy community. So you know, if it's if it ain't blooming, then our health ain't blooming. So that was one of our main resources of our community's eating around the bay, as well as land. So a lot of our work we do is not just the ocean, but it's also goes a long way working on land as well.
Yeah, deadly. Yeah, strong connection. Hey, like, and you know, we say here on up in Queensland, you know, that country and people, you know, they're symbiotic and we're a reflection of our country. And the condition of our reef is, you know, she's unhealthy and so is our so is our people. We're unhealthy as a people and mentally and spiritually, you know.
Yeah.
But tell you, what about your connection? Tell me your story, you know. How did this one female girl just rock up with all these, but how do you keep like, I mean, this one, you know, trouble if I've never seen it before.
I agree.
True, God, I gave him. But yeah, so tell us a bit about your story and your connection.
So on my Gumbengi side, the gargle, the ocean, is actually my totem. So there's always been this really innate curiosity connection to sea country ever since I could remember. And then everybody's going, I'll study marine biology, marine science and stuff. And yeah, I did. So I did that. And, you know, there was always a part kind of missing from that cultural side. And unfortunately, growing up in, you know, Western education system, I didn't learn how to connect those dots until, you know, a couple of years later. And, you know, kind of started learning about these ocean frameworks like marine protected area design. And a lot of the time, that stuff doesn't cater for mob. In fact, it fails mob. So yeah, I did my master's, and these lucky guys got to be my guinea pigs. And yeah, I did some really amazing.
This one's cute.
Some sitting next to him.
I noticed that you guys are so like, tight as a unit, but yet you all bring such a different, diverse knowledge with his, you know, with your academic, with your experiences and your lived experiences, like just having a yarn with you in general conversations through the last couple of days. And poor brother Rob's not here, but you know, if Rob could be here, I'm sure he would have loved to keep yarning, you know. We can't run him down. He's not here to defend himself.
Sorry, Rob.
We love you, Dugan. So tell me a bit about, you know, what's some issues that you guys are facing? You know, is there anything that, you know, that, as, you know, from a personal perspective, what's issues that you see personally that's happening on country and, you know, especially within your sea country that, you know, it's really concerning you? Open the floor.
Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah.
Well, just with the, like, as Rob, our senior ranger, explained to us a while ago, our, how you used to dive, you know, near Alapa Beach and around Yarra and around other coastlines where our seagrass has been decimated, just to be 85-90%, then now it's just under 10%. So just through anchorage, boats just coming in on a hot summer days, just hundreds of boats, and just pull their anchors and just rip and smash in the seagrass. So, that's one of my ones, and especially the moorings. Used to be only three or four in Lapa Beach and around Yarra and everything. Now they've put an extra 15 in, and that they loop by chains and just massive O-rings. Most of like 3-4 meters from the plotted to where the chain loops and swings. So that's a bit of an issue as well. But yeah, just all species as well, crabs and blue swimmer crabs and flatties and bream, just that's their home. So that's a bit of a disappointing. But working together now, the alliance with UNSW, to start repatting, growing seagrass back past Pasadena, and so we've just done our training with scuba diving with Bondi, and I've just done our open water, going to start doing our advance. All of us.
You did it too?
Yeah.
So how did you get in the wetsuit?
I know, I just had about...
Should have seen the weight belt. That, yeah, no. Slipping down out his bum and all.
To tell you the truth, the lad put extra 10-15 kilos on me to get me down.
Well, look.
So I had about easy 50 kilos. So
while we're on that topic of diving, like, because diving is a very unique style of, you know, it's a unique skill set to have.
Absolutely.
Not many people can go underneath the water and see that whole other world underneath there.
Yep.
Can you explain, you know, what it's like when you're underneath the water and you're just, you know, surrounded by that marine life and that ecosystem? And you know, we call it reef chatter. You know, you can hear that. You hear the reef chatter.
We got a story about that.
Yeah, like, you know, what's tell us, give us a lived experience about being under the water.
I think the good thing about it, like, it benefited us because as kids and, like, myself and Robert, obviously being connected really closely with the ocean and always growing up around it was, we always had that skill set of being able to free dive. And then being able to, and, you know, that would obviously, sometimes, like, growing up, it'd be pressure to be able to go, oh, yeah, go catch this, go catch that, go get some lunch or whatever, you know. Always had to do it for my grandmother and all that type of stuff. But so then when it come to scuba, it was different because you was breathing underwater was pretty much unheard of towards, you know, growing up, because you're like, wow, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do this. And obviously having that opportunity through work-wise, it opened opened a lot more doors for us to be able to and experience breathing underwater and seeing complete difference rather than going up and coming back down and going up. And but it was a good, very good experience. We'd done it at a place where we've actually never dived at before, so it was a part of the Sydney Harbour. So it was huge. But it's pretty pity that we couldn't get in up here and, you know, see proper reef. I think it's obviously different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, having, as I said, the weeds down home, and being up here would have been another experience of seeing corals and different colour corals, and I'm sure there'd be, it'd also come along with different habitat and marine life up here that, you know, would be one of my biggest experiences, but really unfortunate.
We'll get you back up, mate. You got plenty of life left in you. You're very young. So I think, it's really good. That's that weight belt now. So. Yeah. No, but I think it's very important to, that we look at these cultural indicators, you know, when we're underwater. So, you know, you talk about how it was 95% earlier, now it's down to under 10%, you know?
Mm.
And I think it's important, a message that people listen to TOs when they're telling these stories about, hey, we're seeing a change in country, you know?
Absolutely.
You need to recognise as well. But, yeah. Hey, do you dive?
Yeah, I do. I haven't dived in a long time, unfortunately. Yeah. I've actually dived up here and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully you guys get to do it because it's a mind-blowing experience. Mm. It is. It's so different to Sydney.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit the opposite, though. I prefer free diving when I can. You know, there's something really quite lovely of being able to appreciate being underwater and, and also breathing through a rig I find very uncomfortable. I think you just also appreciate it in a different sense because it is such a very timed thing. Like, there's only so much air you can hold before you've got to come up again, and it's almost like a meditative experience. And
Shows just how good of a set of lungs you got as well, you know, free diving.
But, you know, I think today in this podcast, we can actually provide that opportunity for you two blokes to do some diving here.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, we got a big shower there. We can fill that sucker up and you can go diving underneath there.
Absolutely.
And
You go first.
I'll pretend to be like a whale or something. No, you don't. I could be that little dude going on his belly.
Seagrass.
I could be a rock with algae on my back.
Malachi being distressed, you can come and try and help him out in some way.
You can tie me up like I'm stranded. So, guys, you know, if there's anything, you know, bringing this to an end, if there was a message as a traditional custodian of your sea country, is there a message that you'd like to tell the world, you know? Because, you know, this podcast is not just for us here in Australia. Mm-hmm. It's for everyone who's going to be having access to this. And if you look down that lens one at a time and start off, just a message to the world, like, you know,
sustainability.
Indigenous people are our past, present, and they're our future. And they will lead and save our future. So there really needs to be better pathways, better inclusion of bringing us more to the table. You know, we've been doing this since time immemorial. It's time that, you know, there's a shared space for us mob and white fellas to come together and do that in a way that's respectful of one another.
Hmm. Dave.
Look after our home.
That's it. That's it. Is that simple?
Let's trot.
Well, hey, let's trot. Well, Josh had a car. We want endorsements. Yeah, that's Delhi. Those messages are strong messages. They're black messages. And they're messages for everyone across the world to listen. And it's very important to, you know, listen to my countrymen and I and countrywomen because our people's way is the true way for sustainability of the future. And that brings us to an end of this podcast, you deadly mob. So thank you so much for joining us here on Reefcast. I hope you loved this podcast. We had some big laughs, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we'll put up for you. But hey, guys, until next time, stay black and deadly, and make sure you like, subscribe, and share with all your friends. This is Reefcast. See you next time.